Welcome to the Indisposable Podcast, produced by Upstream and supported this season by Patagonia. I'm your host, Brookine Gatewood. Thanks for joining for another episode celebrating solutions to plastic pollution.
This episode is sponsored by Tandem Coffee Roasters. Working on it since 2012, Tandem Coffee Roasters in Portland, Maine, believes in good coffee and pursuing a future that is free of single-use cups. Reduce, reuse, and spread joy. TandemCoffee.com.
Hey, what's up, Solutionaires? Welcome back to the Indisposable Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Prindeville, and today I'm very excited to have Upstream's own Samantha Summer on the show. Sam joined us last year after 5 years of being the director of Rethink Disposable, a project that was started by Upstream's policy director, Miriam Gordon. Sam and her team worked with several hundred food service providers in the San Francisco Bay Area, everything from mom-and-pop restaurants to chains to institutional dining and college and corporate campuses. And they worked to help these businesses shift their operations from single-use to reuse. And the big earth-shattering news is not only did this dramatically reduce their environmental impacts, but 100% of the businesses that went through the service saved money. And now Sam is working with our team to scale this idea across the country and also to help create the conditions for a new reuse service economy to replace the one-way throwaway model for takeout and meal delivery. Welcome to the podcast, Sam.
Thanks, Matt, for having me.
So Sam, tell us a little bit about yourself. I remember you telling me that you've been into waste and sustainability issues since you were a little kid, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I guess you could say was a sort of calling from a really young age, because I was really impacted by Girl Scouts and participating in a lot of the volunteerism and service that we would do specifically to helping reduce pollution and protect the planet and people's health. And so with that, I was doing a lot of, you know, recycling projects and beach cleanups. And I myself am a lifelong competitive swimmer. And I've always lived near bodies of water, the ocean, rivers, lakes. And so I have a deep passion for water.
Nice. So let's talk about Rethink Disposable. What were you hired to do there?
Sure. When I started at Rethink Disposable, I was hired to help pilot a technical assistance program for food service operators. So we would do field outreach, go door to door, talk to restaurant owners, food truck owners, you know, cafes and institutional campuses, and identify all the ways that they were basically inefficient and essentially throwing away their money. We would look at their packaging practices, their waste hauling practices, and most importantly, their costs. And so we would make recommendations, provide assistance, and help those accounts implement those recommendations. And then at the end of their transition, we could tell each business operator how many pieces of packaging they've eliminated, how many pounds or tons of waste were prevented from ever needing sorting, hauling, and processing. And most importantly, the net cost impact to their business to not only set up the new reusable operation, but then to maintain it into the future. So when I was first hired, Rethink Disposable had its first really big pilot, like demonstration project grant from the EPA. And it involved 11 jurisdictional partners around the Bay Area, where we were trying to get in there and kind of deploy and test and evolve this technical assistance and certification program.
So cool. And tell us more about what you guys were able to accomplish.
Yeah. So I'd say the first few years there where we were really piloting and building the demonstration projects were so successful that the program really kind of stabilized and became self-sustaining in the sense that it was a project within a nonprofit organization, but it provided a direct service to municipalities and communities that were working on single-use food packaging reduction and local policies. So we kind of morphed into having a lot of these, you know, fee-for-service contracts with many municipalities and kept growing throughout California. I'd say one of the best stories, we had a grant from the Ocean Protection Council, and over 2 years, we worked to create a demonstration project to unpackage a community. And we helped 80 businesses in the city of Alameda implement reusable foodware solutions in their restaurants and cafes and ice cream shops and donut shops and such. And those 80 businesses eliminate annually over 6 million pieces of single-use foodware packaging, wow, preventing over 36 tons of waste from ever being generated in the first place. And all of those businesses, out of those 80 businesses that participate in the program, only two business operators invested in leasing a dishwasher to support their new reuse operation. And when you looked at the cost impacts of leasing a dishwasher and maintaining reuse, it still saves more money than trying to maintain the old broken way of continually procuring single-use items, continually throwing them in your trash, and then paying someone else to haul them away.
And so this is like right in your backyard. This is your hometown, right? So you're getting to see this happen right in your community. And again, as you said, there are all of the restaurants that did this, even the ones that had to invest in any additional dishwashing capacity, every single one of them saved money. What was the experience like? How did the restaurant owners and operators feel? And were they expecting that when they connected with Rethink Disposable?
Yeah, I think coming back to that hometown pride and feel, I would also mention that 7 different municipalities throughout the Bay Area went through an actual like application and review process to be the partner and beneficiary of that grant project funded work. So Alameda was really ripe for the innovation at the time because they had a super active local group called Community Action for Local Sustainable Alameda. You have a really active local city council and the mayor and the city staff and public works that are aggressively working on their climate action and zero waste plans in the city. And we're working towards passing one of the first foodware policies, local policies in the Bay Area, which basically banned, if it looks like plastic, if it feels like plastic, it should not be used in food operations on the island because the hauler can't process that. So we knew that there was a lot of factors at play that would lead to greater potential project success. So when we came into the island and worked with the businesses, there's such an amazing like fabric and feel amongst the business community. So we just created great partnerships and alliances with the business districts, the chamber, the city. And it really was this collaborative effort of the different sectors within the community here to help businesses see that, you know, we're sick of seeing all this packaging on the streets. We're a coastline community as well. And once we had our staff working with the businesses one-on-one and showing them the cost savings potential of these reuse ideas and solutions, that is definitely a no-brainer and helps the businesses really see that, okay, it's going to be hard at first. It's going to take a little bit of setup, you know, costs of operations here, but I can see return on investment in 2 months. And then after that, I'm saving over $4,000 a year just from switching out these 5 things. It's definitely, I think that the money does speak.
Wow. Yeah. So that must have been refreshing for some of the business owners you were working with, because I know that a lot of the business community, they often look at environmental organizations and it's like, okay, what kind of legislation are they going to pass that's going to make it harder for me to do business? So to be able to come to those businesses with a great service and an opportunity for them to save money must have felt really refreshing, I would imagine, for a lot of the businesses you were working with.
Yeah. And I, like I said, I think it was a small knit community, so word spreads fast and the different business owners are talking. And I think if you get into their channels and in their networks and show up for their events and get into their, you know, the publications they're reading, that really helps just kind of build momentum around the idea of reuse. But not only did the staff that worked with each business operator to help them see what they could achieve if they transition and then help them through that transition and then measure and tell that story to the rest of the community and the world. You know, the business operators, I think it was a pretty easy to convince them, but not only that, we gave them up to $500 each to purchase some of those initial reusable supplies and, you know, materials that they would need to implement the recommendations.
Well, it sounds like just a win-win across the board. So, you know, you also mentioned that city governments were literally competing with each other to be able to work with you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, you also mentioned that cities are in the process of implementing their climate action plans. Mm-hmm. Now, were you able to sell the service under the idea that you could also help these cities reduce their climate pollution by implementing these reuse initiatives?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, Matt. I think that at that time, the heavy focus was on the connection of the single-use packaging, the litter profile, and the potential pollution impact into our local waterways and the bay, literally right here in our backyard. So I think at that time, I wish there had been more of a connection to the climate angle, because in our work at Upstream, we know that if we transition to reusable packaging and eliminate the single-use packaging, we're significantly reducing the greenhouse gas emissions. And we know that a majority of those are generated in the manufacturing, production, and transport and distribution phase. And so I think that a lot of times folks are so focused on the downstream disposal angle of how we manage these materials. And, you know, so many greenhouse gas emissions are associated with landfilling versus recycling versus composting or organics, but we're so lacking in having a good structure or foundation for consumption-based inventories that look at all of the greenhouse gases associated with the entire life cycle of these products. But I'm really excited for in 2021, really kind of doubling down on these commitments and connecting the dots between waste, stormwater, plastic pollution in the ocean, and of course, climate impacts.
Yeah, this is, you know, been such a big focus of the organization from the beginning. I think that, as you know, Sam, we were founded by leaders in the zero waste movement in the United States and Canada, and they'd helped to create the zero waste movement back in the 90s when people thought it was a crazy idea. Right. But, you know, they really felt that the movement had become overly focused on the end of the pipe. And they said, you know, we're never going to be able to recycle or compost our way to a sustainable future. We've got to work upstream to redesign these systems that are generating so much waste. And it's like, if we can figure out ways to get people what they want and need without generating any waste in the first place, not only will we have done a great thing for the environment, but, you know, as you've said, we can also save businesses money, and we create opportunities for entrepreneurs and investors, mm-hmm. and for this new reuse service economy. Yeah. So let's talk about that. And I suppose we should start by letting our listeners know that we hired Sam to run our business innovation project, which at the time was focused on helping large-scale venues and aquariums and ballparks and concert halls transition from single use to reuse. And her first day on the job was March 9th, 2020, right as the world and all our clients were going into lockdown. Sam, can you talk a little bit about what that experience was like and how you started to shift the focus of the project to really be relevant during this pandemic?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's been quite a few pivots and evolutions and worried moments for sure at times, and, you know, also identifying where there's hope and opportunity. And I'd say, you know, once the shock kind of wore off of not only what's going to happen with, you know, these projects that we have in the work plan, or how are we going to launch, you know, this pilot, or how are we going to go on a plastic-free tour? All these exciting things that really were the culmination of like 2 decades of solid work, right, by everyone in this industry, and the policy work and the progress in business innovation, and having, you know, major procurers and major food service operators really kind of, I feel like we were reaching kind of peak plastic awareness, and then COVID hit. And yeah, you know, I'm not going to lie. I felt pretty concerned in the beginning because I saw how the plastics industry was jumping in on the opportunity and the, you know, kind of sick tactics that they were deploying there around that. Plus, you know, the food services industry just crippled overnight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you see the statistics of, and, you know, I think one of my favorite things about working in food services is just the diversity of the people and the perspectives. And when you're out there, and like anyone can attest to in their local neighborhoods and their local community, it's like the restaurant owners are like the fabric of the community, and they're immigrants and, you know, women owned businesses. And so, and to be able to help them do better and thrive into the future by transition and reuse was really rewarding for me. And so to think through these food operators that were closing down left and right, and the ones that were surviving had to let the whole staff go, and it's just them running the show. And it's really devastating. So trying to think through, okay, let's pause and let's see where is everybody at? Like, where is their head at? What is that? What is it that they need right now? Like, how can we support? How can we listen? And just really not only get a sense from the food industry, but also all these amazing entrepreneurs and business owners that are launching, you know, reusable services and programs throughout the U.S. Were also kind of shut down overnight. So I'd say really the first step was just to have a lot of compassion and love in that moment, and to really focus on listening to what was happening in the field and what businesses need and want and how Upstream can support them in this really difficult time, but also hold the line on reuse, because we knew that reuse is safe, that we need to get the messaging out there that not only is reuse safe, but also hold the line where there was backsliding and, you know, ability to bring reusable containers, reusable bags, reusable cups into stores and such during the pandemic. So once we kind of did all that listening, I'd say that took about 3 months, really just meeting with a lot of the reuse service providers, listening to the restaurant owners and folks in food service, like our concessionaire partners. You know, I think we knew that they took a heavy hit. And when we could not really launch reuse programs and services at the larger venues, we knew that, you know, takeout, delivery, and the businesses that were still open now in this time are going to be mainly the restaurants in the local context. And they're going to be doing primarily takeout and delivery operations. And we've been seeing packaging explode as a result of COVID, because that's really the only type of food operation happening right now. So I think we recognize that, okay, this is going to be a really hard nut to crack, but I think we're going to have to shift to really focus on, can we identify and develop and deploy some models that work in the takeout sector that we can test and learn from, and then really, you know, share that with our platform and audiences.
Yeah. And you launched a design sprint around that. So I remember last summer, after you had done all this canvassing of our food service partners and the reuse service companies that we work with, that, you know, there was momentum around pulling a design sprint together to talk about hacking the challenges of reuse and takeout and delivery, even during a pandemic. Can you talk a little bit about that process and also just what came out of that?
Yeah, I think once we came up for air from the first kind of emergency phase, if you will, we realized, okay, we have a whole new set of challenges because of COVID, but also because launching reuse programs in takeout and delivery are, you know, especially challenging with extra layers of logistics and planning. So it really required some like really big thinkers and expert partners. So we kind of convened this group in August of 2020 of just 10 folks from around the Bay Area that are experts in reuse and engaging businesses and food services. And we really came together and ideated solutions to overcome all the challenges and barriers to doing these open system reusable service programs for takeout and delivery. What we found is that what we realized that we needed to do is, after interviewing 2 business operators during that day's event, really we recognized that a lot more interviewing and research needed to be done to understand, because every business has a different set of challenges and different perspectives. So we recognize that there's more research need to be done, which did happen as a result of the design sprint. and also helped inform how to launch a reusable takeout container program. So Upstream partnered with Dishcraft Robotics and designed an entire system and program for offering reusable containers at restaurants for takeout orders and meals for their customers. And that will be launching in Palo Alto in 2021. And we also had some really amazing conversation, and this really started my thinking and ideating around what would it look like to have truly a reusable city? What would it look like if at every business, at every home, instead of having just your landfill, recycle, and organics bin, there's a fourth bin, and that's your reuse bin. So if we could create some type of public-private partnership with funding where, you know, say if the cities have exclusive franchise agreements with their haulers, haulers are experts at the logistics of running routes, picking up and sorting and processing materials. And essentially, it's exactly what we need them to do. But to add on the reverse logistics of now these materials are picked up, they're taken to the warehouse or the, you know, whatever recovery facility. Now these things are sorted out with optical sensors and they're sent to our dishwashing provider partner who's also contracted from through the city. And, you know, then these materials are sorted and sent back to their original, the businesses that need to then refill them.
Yeah, no, it's just like what we were talking about the other week, Sam. It's like, you know, when I was a kid, there was just one bin. Right. It was the garbage bin, right? And then we got the recycling bin, and then we got the composting bin. And it just makes sense that, you know, the next evolution is really the reuse bin. And that over time, you know, we want more and more of the packaging that we interact with to go out of the garbage bin, out of the recycling bin, and into that reuse bin. That's when we know that we've really done a great thing for the environment. And not just the environment, but as you were talking about, our local communities and our local economic systems. Because, you know, as I always like to say, you know, whenever the styrofoam folks are trying to prevent communities from banning, you know, styrofoam, they say, hey, you can't do this, you're going to cost jobs. But that's a completely vertically integrated industry where one company owns almost the entire industry for styrofoam takeout containers. But if we could set up a reuse service for, or multiple reuse services for, you know, collecting and washing and redistributing reusable takeout containers for an entire city, just think about that. You're literally employing people right then and there in for your city. And so I think this is such an exciting initiative, and really excited about what you guys came out from that. So let's also, you know, dive into a couple, some of the other lessons learned, because I know that one of the other learnings that you guys had is that there wasn't a central place for communities or even for food service businesses to find reuse services. So what came out from that?
Yeah, actually, Upstream has launched and is hosting the world's largest and most up-to-date directory of reuse service businesses and providers on our website. I definitely welcome you to check it out at upstreamsolutions.org. And in there, you can see, I mean, I think I was just checking it out yesterday, actually, because I was speaking with another retail refill company based out of Boston yesterday, and just wanted to make sure that they were up on her website. And when I got to the refillables for, you know, grocery and stores, I think there's something like 15 businesses up there now. So every day I'm learning about a new entrepreneurial, a new startup, a new reuse business, and it's really exciting to see that it's all over the country. And there's sections for, you know, zero waste grocers and zero waste cafes and reusable cup programs, reusable container programs, different software tools that enable and support, you know, reuse services, and also crowdsourcing customer feedback, sustainability feedback to businesses. So there's a ton of great content up there. And if you are a business, or if you know of a business that you don't see up there, definitely get in touch. We'll be happy to add them to the directory.
Yeah, we would love that. And we've got, I think, I believe we're up to several hundred businesses now across the platform and the directory. And it's, like you said, it's growing every day. So we're really excited about that. The other thing that came out of this is, and this is, again, crisis creates opportunity, right? So I remember early on during the pandemic around April and May, and we were noticing all of our venue partners were shutting down, and the idea of moving reuse forward in large scale venues was really kind of, we couldn't even do site visits at that time, right? And so I remember brainstorming and thinking with you, well, how can we accomplish the same things that we want to accomplish, not just in our target cities, but anywhere in the country, sitting from our home offices and doing it over Zoom? And that's where this kind of idea came to build on some of the work that we'd already done to develop a calculator that was calculating in a very simple way, the cost savings for a business, a food service business, switching from single use to reuse. But we had this bigger idea, and I'd love to just kind of, for our listeners, kind of tee up what we're working on in 2021 here around this big software application and service that we're working to provide.
Sure, yes. So let me start by sharing a little tidbit of a story. Just this morning, I was on a call with one of the total recycle managers at WM.
At WM, what's WM?
Oh, sorry, largest trash hauling company in the world, Waste Management.
Great, thank you.
Sure, based out of the Boston area, and a couple of the clients that they're working with are university campuses, and the university campuses have an interest in partnering with their trash hauler WM on actually launching reusable container programs for food services on campus. And, it's fascinating because this conversation I had with WM was basically alluding to the fact that all the reasons why the cafe managers or, Sodexo and Aramark run these accounts and, the cafe managers or facilities or janitorial, all the different stakeholders are involved in really pursuing these types of transition reuse projects say it's cost prohibitive. And they always say, the janitors can't run the reusable containers back to the central kitchen because they've got to take, and if you've ever seen like a busy cafeteria, a janitor could be removing materials off the floor like 18 times an hour. It's like, what if you only need to do that 3 times an hour? Time is saved and it's reallocated to do this better system. Right. And actually, you're probably going to save time in the long run, too. So what I'm basically getting at is that, the janitor's time, the dishwashing, like how many runs of the dishwashing cycles we're going to have to increase if we do this reuse program, the new who are we going to hire to run the operations of this program, like, and this laundry list of all the reasons why it's cost prohibitive. If you were armed with the right data and the right information with projections tools, I believe all of these accounts that are, right now saying, no, cost too much, I think that they would really see the light and would come over to implementing these transitions to reuse much faster. Because really, the types of software that are needed that don't really exist today would help any food service operator or the facilities manager or their zero waste consultant or their sustainability staff, if they had the right tools and software where they can see in real time and easily, here's how much our current situation is costing us. Here's the environmental impact of this current situation in terms of, how much packaging consumed, what material types, what waste is generated that most likely can't be recycled or composted. And most importantly, greenhouse gases associated with all those materials that are being consumed and disposed of in, for example, one university campus. So with these accounts, if you could see how your current situation really is for your bottom line. And you could play with a piece of software to say, okay, what if we did scenario A? scenario B, scenario C. Here's what it's projecting in terms of, and it's looking at all of the true cost impacts that would be incurred to not only set up a new reusable operation, but most importantly, to maintain it for success into the future.
Right.
So, you know, I think that if they were to see how much, how fast the ROI would be, and how much the annual cost savings projections would be, it would be a serious aha moment for a lot of these food service, you know, managers and operators.
So Sam, you know, what I find so interesting about this is that you've been doing this. Like, you ran a team that was literally going out and working directly one-on-one with food service businesses and watching them have these aha moments when they realized that they could actually save money by making this transition from single use to reuse. Mm-hmm. And so now that the pandemic has kind of shuttered food service, and we have this conversation about what if we just built a software application so that any food service business anywhere could actually do this?
Yeah. So the best part about the work that's already been done to date shows that we can transition food operators to reuse. They do save significant amounts of money. They love the new operation, and their customers and employees usually really love it too. And there's always really good positive feedback. Now, that process works and it exists, but it's very time consuming, inefficient.
Right.
And it requires a lot of people power to work with each individual person. It's all done manually, and it was just, it works, but it's old school. And so we figure, not only because of COVID and the pandemic and things really turning to the virtual world and us not being able to go into all these accounts and do it, you know, in live time in person. So there was that factor. Plus, we wanted to speed up the adoption of these behaviors and business, you know, operation changes. And so what better way to scale than with software so that we make an impact on this packaging reduction faster, because the planet can't wait.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I think too, coming back to the earlier part of our conversation where, you know, a lot of the time businesses might be thinking that to do something good for the environment, it's either going to be really hard or it's going to cost them a lot of money. And so I think that what's exciting about, yeah, it's all perceived, right? And so what's so exciting about this is that, you know, you've been able through your work to really prove that A, it's not that hard. B, you can save money, and C, it's better that the customers like it better, that the employees like it better, and that this is really the future. This is where we need to go. We need to kind of correct this aberration of the one-way throwaway single-use economy and, you know, get back to our roots about delivering kind of quality products, you know, in ways that don't generate waste. So let's talk a little bit about just, you know, the challenges for how we build out this infrastructure and what needs to happen in order to, you know, create this reuse city idea that we've been talking about.
Sure. Yeah, well, I think that the first biggest challenge is going to be funding and, you know, capital. When I think about at a municipal level, you know, reuse infrastructure should be provided by your municipality as a city service, just like everyone else, other city services that you have sewer, there's trash, there's power. Mm-hmm. We should have infrastructure that supports reuse, because if reuse is operating in a city, that means, again, the city is saving a ton of money, and all the millions of dollars, like in a California jurisdiction, that you're spending on preventing trash from entering waterways now can be reallocated, because there ideally won't be trash entering waterways, since right. most of that trash right. is made up of single-use food and beverage packaging. So if cities are just like a business would reallocate it to a better system, the cities can as well. With that, you know, we pay into stormwater fees. We pay into the city service fees through our taxes. So I think that there needs to be something created where there's a funding stream that, you know, part of the city's taxes or businesses are paying into the reuse tax. But I really was thinking about this because, you know, if you went to Hawaii or Costa Rica, there's a green tourism tax, and that pays for a lot right. of their green infrastructure and programs. Yeah. And I'm thinking of something very similar to that. So once the cities have a budget, then it's just a matter of issuing an RFP And having our reuse service providers and or dishwashing partners bid on contracts to offer the services at a city level. What the big challenge will be is how do we make it interoperable? How do we get so that if I'm a customer and I'm cruising down Main Street, USA, I went to the cafe, I went to the Burmese food restaurant, and I want to go home, or I'm going to eat it at the park or whatever. Now, I want to leave with my reusable containers. And how did I get those? Did I check it out? Is there an app? Is it available at every business? Who pays for that service? And then most importantly, when I'm done with it, is it going to be as easy as finding a trash can to find the reuse bin where I'm dropping my, you know, reusables into, whether it be at my home, at my office, at my grocery store, or just located it at the parking structure or at, you know, different places in town. And then working with the haulers to have the additional service of picking up reusables, bringing them to the dishwashing partner, and having those reusables redistributed out to the original businesses. That takes a lot of logistics. You know, I think that, again, the first step is really the capital investment for a hauler to retrofit the optical sorting line to demonstrate that one business can do it, how can they do it, and how much money does it take. And I think that mainly what I want to say too for the haulers, and I didn't mention earlier, because changing an optical sorter is not, it's like moving a mountain. So this is not, I'm not pretending like I'm not a realist, but I think that as we see tonnage of landfilling materials going down because of changing market conditions, because of changing consumption habits, or because of policy driving that change, we see landfilling going down. That's their business model, making money up per ton. And we see that the recycling markets are dying and the organics markets is really struggling because of all the contaminated material that ends up in the organics that really doesn't make good compost. The trash companies, in order to be viable in the next 5 to 10 years, need to grow into the reuse space and figure out how to make it profitable and marketable for their industry. And I think that they can. And now is the time to start thinking through those long-term plans.
Well, and like you said, it's so much of it's about incentives, right? You know, one of the interesting conversations I had in the last couple of weeks is I talked to Karen, who's the CEO of Conscious Container, which is working to bring back refillable beverage bottles for beer and for soda here in the United States. And, you know, we talked about the Oregon refillable beer model, where you have a service, one company up there, which basically lends out, they have a service contract with the brewers. I think most of the brewers in Oregon use this service, and they provide them with clean, refillable glass bottles, and then they run all the service infrastructure behind that to collect those bottles, wash them, and then get them back out into service. And that, you know, again, we're looking for similar types of things for to-go containers, for to-go cups for coffee, to service the large-scale venues that are plowing through, beer cups and things like that. And that ultimately what we really need to see is that, you know, we need to get folks excited about this being the future.
What we want to do is get to the point where it becomes the new norm. So it sounds pretty crazy right now and like out, you know, a little like space out there. But I think that the more, when I used to carry a reusable takeout container that I was allowed to bring to salad bars when I used to work in downtown Oakland at Frank Ogawa Plaza. And people would literally come up and stop me walking through the plaza every time in the restaurants that I was going to refill my containers. They're like, where'd you get that? What is that? And so imagine if everyone was walking around, or like just to get to, you know, the critical mass of people walking around and using these, the city cup or the city container. And when you're not, that looks weird. That's what we're trying to aspire to. But I think coming back, just two more quick challenges, that interoperability piece, which is, you know, it's going to be tough because different businesses are very much aligned with the, you know, brand and how those moving pieces of trash are helping to somehow amplify their brand. And so I think we're going to have a big hurdle to cross, which is, you know, we want to see just like one kind of cup, one kind of container, because that will help us get to economies of scale, drive the price down, make it so that the haulers will sit at the table with us and maybe think about partnership, because they, if you start to have 100 brands moving through a city, and the sorters needing to sort and wash and then redistribute 100 different types of containers, that's not really going to help us reach this vision. I think it won't be as viable, but also the material types themselves. So it's really challenging to find, you know, the sweet spot on the right type of material for its functionality and its cost, and really needing to move away from plastics. And finding that right material, because if you have metal out there, you know, it could get dented. If you have plastic out there, well, that's not going to help our entire, you know, life cycle of pollution here issue. And if you have glass out there, there's breakage problems. So even finding like the right material is going to really take some testing, I think. And we're still not really there yet. I think we still need more market-friendly materials for what we call the open network.
Right, right. You know, I think, you know, it's one of these situations too, where we're going to need lots of experimentation. And so while we're testing out different ideas, different materials.
And the innovation is really in the open network scenario. And where I really see us winning already, and we've already proven this can be done, and now we're innovating the software to support it, which is the on-site dining operations and any type of a closed network scenario, an aquarium, a museum, a corporate cafe, a university, an airport. There are ways to implement reuse no matter what the opportunities and challenges.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so we're in the rapid fire section. Are you ready to go?
I don't know.
All right.
Oh, sorry. Yay!
Okay, so rapid fire questions now. So please finish this sentence. A circular economy is...
a day when I don't throw away single-use packaging into any stream.
I love it. I love it. Tell our listeners one thing that you're really excited about in 2021.
I am really looking forward to getting vaccinated and, you know, really hoping that we can get some control over the virus and hug people again and go do our favorite things again. Meet my team, who I've never met in person.
I know, right?
Yeah, I don't know, I guess. And then, you know, for work, really just revolutionizing how we do reuse and bringing software to the table to really amplify our game and to scale.
Love it. So what's on replay on your favorite songs or artist lists? And what does this say about you?
Oh, yeah, I'd say These Boots Are Made for Walking, Nancy Sinatra, comes up a lot, because there's something just kind of like raw and just like exciting about it. And also like, just pick your shit up. I can't say shit, can I?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's just, there's something about that beat. And like when you're low or when you're down or you're just kind of like, oh gosh, how am I going to climb this next mountain? Or, you know, I feel like a fish swimming up a waterfall sometimes. And it's like that song just kind of helps me get my rhythm and my groove to pick myself up and keep stepping.
Oh, that's so great. What's one of the top things that our listeners can do to help accelerate the reuse revolution?
Well, in the current times of COVID, when most of us are interacting with food services through takeout and delivery, I'd say one of the, you know, first and easiest steps that you can do is to contact your restaurants when you receive orders at home that have a bunch of packaging that nobody wants or needs in it. And it's, we call that accessory packaging. So, you know, if you order Chinese food, you're getting, you know, 15 soy sauce packets and all the extra stuff that comes. You can tell your businesses like, hey, we don't really need that stuff. So either working with their local, you know, Grubhubs and DoorDashes of the world, changing their online ordering system. But just basically all that extra stuff isn't really necessary. And to find out where their local reuse service businesses are in their area, check out our reuse business directory, because I think we know that restaurants listen to customer reviews. And so I think if customers were really encouraging restaurants to check out, hey, is there a local Dispatch or Dish Craft or Sparkle or Dish Joy or Vessel or Muse or Cup Club or R Cup? Mm-hmm. Do they service mm-hmm. my area? Right, I'm going to reach out to them and see, hey, how much are your services? Like, how would this work in my logistics? Because these service providers have figured out an amazing service to offer their clients, which are the businesses.
Yeah.
And so it's like, they've reduced all the headache. They take all the stress away. They provide this amazing service. And daily you have, you know, sanitized, safe, clean, fresh reusables delivered daily when your dirties are carted away for washing and cleaning. So I think that there's ways that customers have a lot of power to encourage their favorite restaurants to do better. And those are two ways I think they can do it.
For folks that are wondering how they can get more involved around this, Upstream with our partners, we've just launched a campaign called Skip the Stuff to help persuade your city council members and legislators to pass an ordinance or a resolution that would have restaurants ask first before they put a bunch of unwanted cutlery and napkins and all this stuff that you don't want or need because it's getting delivered to your home or your office where you already have cutlery and napkins and so on.
I was thinking how when you do go to a restaurant to get takeout, carry your own reusable container. The restaurant most likely will not be able to fill your food directly into the container, but they could put your food on a plate. And then you could just, like, you're bagging your own groceries in your reusable bags outside the grocery store. You kind of just stand there and you can put the food on your own into your reusable container. Just one more, you know, idea for how to hack all that packaging and to buy in bulk. And yeah, make healthy foods from scratch that aren't super packaged.
Sam, anything else we didn't cover that you want to speak to?
I mean, yeah, I guess I would just say to, you know, stay tuned, join Upstream's different networks and platforms as we work to ideate these solutions, and we need partners across the U.S. to help.
Great. Thank you, Sam. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Matt. Have a great day.
And that's our show. You can always find out more information about Upstream at upstreamsolutions.org. You can check out our Learning Hub, join our campaigns, get the information you need to change your community. And please don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you all next time.